Isn't he good? And isn't our worship team good? Thank you, Lord God. Amen, amen, amen. We are so blessed, you know what? In this church, we are so blessed by so many different people that share their anointing, that share their giftings with others, and that minister to others. This house, this room, this church is full of ministers. Amen? As a matter of fact, will all the ministers here today in this, please raise your hand. Hallelujah. You are so good. You know, and I've said before, you've asked that in most churches, and two or three will raise their hand. And that's the lie of the enemy. He wants us to know, in the church throughout the world, that every born-again believer is a minister for Jesus Christ, and that's what you are. And his love for us is beyond anything we can even begin to comprehend. And his love, you know, even in his love for us, he says, I discipline you. I'm a loving father, and because I love you as my children, I discipline you. If we're without discipline, it's because he's not our father. So, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, temptations, and see them as the discipline of the Lord, and be corrected by that and be changed, because he wants to conform you, change you into the image of his precious son, Jesus Christ. And we sing this morning, when you walk into the room, everything changes. Beloved, when you walk into your business, when you walk into the grocery store, wherever you go, when you walk in, the Lord God Almighty walks in. Amen. Amen. Colossians 3:3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. That's the way the Lord sees you. He sees you as his son, his daughter. And when you walk into that room, you're taking the Lord God Almighty into that room with you. Wherever you go, throughout your day, at all times, as a minister, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and to be able to speak with that authority and speak with that love and to change the lives of people. And if it was ever critical, it is critical today in what this nation and the world is going through. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. During the Sunday, a couple of weeks ago, when the Vacation Bible School shared with us, I didn't get to attend, I was out of town, but that when they showed what all they did, I have been concerned about this nation and what my children, your children, and our grandchildren are going to grow up in. And when I saw the VBS, I thought, oh my goodness, God is raising up an army. And that song came to my mind. Wished I could sing. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Amen. Sing it with me. It'll help me. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. The chains that Satan has bound the people of this world with, that what he tries to bind us with. And so I was so encouraged that, oh, and even when I was in India, and there I was told that the youth in India, there's a revival going on. There's hope. There's hope. I've been so encouraged and so blessed and excited about that. What am I leaving out? Yes. Oh. Now, I want you to understand the message I'm going to share today came to me in a word about 8-9 weeks ago, quite a long time ago. And ever since then, I've been studying and looking into it. And I believe it's very important for the church today and for the equipping and empowering of the army that the Lord is raising up. It's important. We're in a great warfare between the Lord God Almighty, his righteous angels, and his saints against Satan, his fallen angels, demons, and also his human agents. And it is a war to rule, to gain the lives of people. Satan's idea is to destroy everything God loves. And we need to stand against that with all of our heart. And therefore, I would like to, Cody, let's bring up that first slide for this reason. The scriptures in Isaiah 5:13 and Hosea 4:6, where he says, my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, knowledge alone is not enough. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he that hears my words, that's knowledge, and does them will be like a man who built his house on a firm foundation. And when the storms of life and the attack of the enemy comes, that house will stand. You're the house of God. That house will stand because it's built on a rock, the firm foundation. But he that hears my words and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the sand, and he'll never endure the storm. So not only do we need knowledge, once we get knowledge, we need to act on it. We need to make that knowledge ours. We need to walk in it and declare it and put it into practice every day in our life. Pastors and teachers are accountable to the Lord for the health and safety of their sheep. Jesus told Peter three times, you love me, Peter, then shepherd my sheep. Pastor my sheep. Take care of my sheep. That's the heart of the Lord for pastors and teachers. And James 3:1 says, let not many of you become teachers, brethren, knowing that they will incur a stricter judgment. So the Lord is very concerned about his sheep and what they know, what they don't know, what they walk in and what they don't walk in. And 2 Timothy 3:16, familiar with that scripture. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I bring that up this morning because the message I'm going to share is not a feel-good message. It is a hard, difficult message, but it's the truth from the Word of God, something we need to know, we need to walk in, we need to understand. So, that verse that the Lord spoke to me was Matthew 24, verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So shall it be. So the days we're living in, the days that are coming, the days of Noah, this is the message for this morning. So I dug into this. I said, well, what was it like in the days of Noah? So I went back to Genesis 6 and began spending time in those passages. So Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2. When men began to literally multiply on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and I added, lusted after them, and took wives of all that they chose. Now, the sons of God, every time this terminology, sons of God, is used in the Old Testament, it's always referring to angels. It's not talking about men. The sons of God, one example is in, as you see up there, is in Job 38, verse 7. The Lord is talking about when he created the earth, so it's before mankind, when he created the earth, that the stars of God sing for joy, and the sons of God, that's not exactly right, sorry, we got to get it. 38:7, and the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. And many other verses, always in the Old Testament, is speaking of angels. So that's clear. It's not men. Some Bible teachers say that and teach it, but there's no way you can get men out of that. The sons of God were angels created by God, the fallen ones who followed Lucifer in his rebellion against the Lord. And that's Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. With the goal of destroying all that the Lord had created and loves, particularly people created in the image of the Lord God who they hate and who their warfare is against. Jude 6 and verse 7 speaks about this. Angels who did not keep their own domain or place, but abandoned their proper abode, I added, driven by lust for the daughters of men, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way indulged in gross immorality and went after different flesh, as exhibited as an example how much the Lord hates this perversion by undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. I look at the Kilauea volcano and think, where's all that lava coming from? It must be leaving a hole down there, a vacuum. Looks to me like hell is expanding, making way That's my thoughts. Probably a geologist say you're crazy. That's not what's going on. But anyway, Genesis 6, verse 4 goes on with this. The Nephilim were on the earth both in those days and afterwards when the sons of God went into the daughters of men and had children by them. How can this be? That's just beyond the comprehension of what I had ever even really considered or gave thought to. And had children by them. They, the children, were the Nephilim, the warriors, the tyrants of old. And when these Nephilim, these giants that walked around then at that time, the children of angels and women, human beings, half and half, DNA split, I guess. I can't comprehend that beyond my, I shouldn't even bring it up. But when these Nephilim, then the flood came, that's why God judged the flood, because of what was going on there, the perverse immorality that was going on with through the lust and all of this. It couldn't continue, so he wiped it completely all out. And when these Nephilim giants died in the flood, then or later, their spirits were released from their bodies and roamed the earth looking for another body to inhabit and promote the same immoral, perverted sexual perversions throughout mankind. Jesus said something about this in Matthew chapter 12, 43 and 45. When an unclean spirit goes out, that word goes out in the Hebrew, it looks like the word exorcism in the Greek. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes and finds it unoccupied, a beloved, in the casting out of demons, you better replace it with the Holy Spirit of the Lord God Almighty immediately. Don't leave it empty. When he finds it swept and put in order, then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there, and the last state of that person becomes worse than the first. This is the way it will also be with this evil generation. God have mercy. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We need to give this serious consideration and be aware of it. For if these fallen angels have the power to impregnate women and beget children, as Genesis 6 states, that brings to light what the Lord said to the serpent in Genesis 3:15. After the fall, he said, I will put enmity, hatred between your seed and her seed. Everywhere in the scriptures where the word seed is used, it's speaking of, like in Romans 4, it's speaking of the descendants of Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3, it's speaking of the offspring of Abraham. So it's talking about children. He will put hatred between your seed, Satan's seed, that has something to do, must have something to do with these Nephilim, the children of these angels and women. Satan has seed, it says it plainly, and your seed. Now, not with all prophecy, but with the vast majority of prophecies, they have a fulfillment at that time that it was spoken, but also a fulfillment later on, much later, because it's also talking about his seed, Antichrist, and her seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it has a fulfillment now and a fulfillment later. So we could read it that way. I put enmity between your children and her children. And we see that throughout the Bible. The enmity between, and well, let's explain here just real quick. We'll see the scriptures. Chapter, next six, Cody. The serpent Satan was and is trying to raise up his seed, his children on earth to corrupt and destroy the Lord's people, her seed. Sexual pleasure was his bait to ensnare mankind. And the battle is clearly seen throughout the world today. And this offspring could be what the Lord stated were the sons of the evil ones when he spoke of the tares sown by the devil. Matthew 13. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. These are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And remember, Jesus went on in that parable and said, leave them, let them go together. They're here with us today. But in the end days, the angels will come and gather the tares out and commit them to eternal fire. Back just like the other angels that started all of this. Paul also referred to one of these sons of the devil in Acts 13, 7 through 10, where he said, "You are full of deceit and fraud, you son of the devil." Jesus also in John 8, 44, he said to some of those there in his presence, "You are of," and the Greek word "of" means, it's ek, ek, out of, as a source of origin, where it originated from. "You are out of your father, the devil, and the desire, his desire, and you do the desires of your father." Serious, very serious things that we need to be aware of. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 6 and read. "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind.'" He could not let this continue. "Whom I have created from the face of the earth, men, animals, creatures that move along the ground, birds of the air, for I am grieved. But Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord." And this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. This room is full of Noahs. Amen? That will not participate in any of that. And even though he lived in the midst of all of that, he kept himself separate. We have a fight on our hands to keep ourselves separate from the immoral perversion that is going on today. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. How about our time, beloved? Let's walk that way. Righteous, blameless among the people of our time. And he walked with God. So be it. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all of the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all of the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth." And he did. So the angels who lusted after women and conceived children were condemned to eternal punishment. After the resurrection, 1 Peter 3:19, Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. The angels are sons of God who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. So the point is this. I'm not trying to explain how this happened, what all of the Nephilim sons of God are. What I'm trying to wake us up to and cause us to see that as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be that bad again, and the United States is on a slippery slope headed that way fast and around the world. So it will be. Pardon?
I do not believe it.
How do you not believe it? I believe it. Amen. These evil demonic spirits are still on the earth today looking for an opportunity in anyone, including you, who he hates more than others because you're children of the Most High God. Looking for an opportunity in anyone to promote all kinds of sexual immorality and or perversion. And this was seen. That was Genesis 6. But this is seen that it even continues because jumping to Genesis chapter 18, a short time later, we have the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, three men were standing opposite him, opposite of Abraham. And when he saw them, he ran from the door to meet them. He saw them. The Lord and two angels. He saw them and ran to the tent to meet them, bowed down to the earth and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by." Abraham recognized they were appeared as men, but he recognized whom they were, but he had met them several times before. He had met the Lord several times before. Verse 8 says, he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. So here these angels appeared, not only appeared as man, they evidently were a man. They were able to eat. So not only appear as men, but they can eat and fully function as men, even to the fathering of children, as in Genesis 6. Blows my mind. I cannot comprehend. This is the word of God. verses 16 through 18. Then the men rose up from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And Abraham goes into intercession for particularly his brother, his cousin Lot, and says, Lord, for 50, if there's 50 righteous, will you destroy it? And he said, no. And he bargained with him, got him down to 10, and said, no, I won't even destroy it for if there's 10 righteous there. You know, how does that apply to us today? Maybe that means the rapture is going to happen before it gets quite that bad. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 That's encouragement and hope. Now, where was I? The men rose up from there and looked, and the Lord said, I shall hide my Abraham doing. Verse 20 and 21. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is exceedingly great. Their sin is exceedingly grave. And the men turned away from there and walked toward Sodom while Abraham was standing before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? So the Lord here was either the Lord himself or a higher angel than the other two and had the authority to speak for the Lord. And I say that because the Lord said in Exodus 33:20, no man can see my face and live. So I'm not sure how to look at that, whether it was the Lord himself or some or an angel with the authority of the Lord that was higher than the other two. Genesis 19. And the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate. Now, Lot had made the choice to live in Sodom. He chose that place, went there on purpose, and lived there. Genesis 13:10. And seemingly gained a position of authority because it was said he was sitting in the gate. We are all living with and experiencing the consequences of our choices. Yes? Today, we're experiencing the consequences of choices made either by our parents or our own choices in days gone by. The smallest move towards sexual lust gives these evil spirits a toehold, and they will attempt to take a foothold, and that can soon become a stronghold if you continue to mess with it and give them an opportunity and an open door. When Lot saw these men, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground and said, now behold, my Lord, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now, this reminds me of Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, that means, again, these angels can appear as a man or a woman. They did then. Some have done that. The scripture says so. So, when somebody knocks at the door, maybe you better pray first and be sure who you're letting in. Because it might be a demon, an evil angel, or it might be one of the holy angels of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to know how to handle that. I shouldn't even brought it up. 19, verse 4 and 5. The men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all of them, young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot. I mean, this is total perversion. They called to Lot and said to him, where are the men, they saw them as men, who came in to you tonight? Bring them out that we may have relations with them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door, but the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door and struck these men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness. They had the power to do that, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. You know, that reminds me of the scripture in Corinthians where it says, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by her believing husband. Maybe that's the way it was with Lot's family. Or maybe they were all righteous also. But it does say Noah was righteous. And hopefully, number 13, hopefully this indicates the exodus of the church when they grabbed Lot and his family and got him out of there. Exodus of the church before this kind of judgment falls again. And we should respond with the same compassion that the Lord did for those among us who these evil spirits have taken captive. Grab them by the hand. Do whatever we can to lead them out and set them free, saints. We need the compassion of the Lord to do that. We cannot judge them. We cannot judge them. We must do whatever we can to set the captives free. That's the anointing of the Lord that was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free. That same anointing is upon you to preach the gospel to the poor and set the captives free. Grab them by the hand. Get them out of there. Lot himself, I should have struck this sentence out because I don't agree with it now. It got in there in my thinking early when I did the overhead. But I don't believe it's true anymore. Lot himself was debased and corrupted. I was thinking about, well, why did he go there? Why is he spending time there? Why is he sitting in the gate? Maybe he was just being a good witness. So I don't know. I strike that out. That's not correct. But verse 19:26, but his wife from behind him, evidently not wanting to go, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And his daughters, thus the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. Why did they want to do that? I mean, he didn't wipe out all the men. That was in Genesis 6 in the flood. There were other men on the earth at that time. So I don't understand that. So at least to me, it looks like his wife turned into a pillar of salt and the children perhaps were not as righteous as Lot. Now, this is all my speculation and thinking. But I would imagine that would be because Lot chose to live in Sodom with his family. And the result was difficult for his wife and for his children, what they grew up with and what they saw. So again, I say to you, be careful who you associate with. And as men for their families, be careful where you live, what school your kids go to school in. You've got to keep them separate from this kind of thing. Lot's wife is an example for all of us that once the Lord has delivered us from evil, if we look back desiring the immoral things of our, and Jesus even said, remember Lot's wife. Jesus? Was it Jesus? Remember Lot's wife. The Lord has delivered us from evil. If we look back desiring the immoral things of our past, it is extremely displeasing to the Lord and will result in dire consequences. And all of this was because of their father's decisions. Many people today are the victims of their father's decisions or the actions of other family members, friends, acquaintances, or even strangers who yielded to these evil demonic spirits through pornography or whatever means. Beloved, we need to run from any sort of pornography whatsoever in any way. David said, I'll put no unclean thing before my eyes. That means you almost have to quit watching television. You can't go to the movies except one or two or three. And don't do it. You cannot do it. We have a hard enough as man and the manly hormones that are stirred. You cannot give that because any door you open that way is going to give one of these evil spirits that's looking for an opportunity to come into your life and give you problems that you cannot escape from. Put images in your mind that you cannot get out. Run, run, run. To yield to the lust these evil spirits promote is a movement towards Sodom with severe consequences. The United States of America today has moved towards Sodom. The lustful, perverted sexual immorality of these same evil spirits is rampant and promoted everywhere in an unbelievable, powerful way, such as homosexual pursuits in marriages, transgender pursuits, unisexual restrooms and showers. Some states and school have school programs to indoctrinate their children to the LGBT and transgender lifestyles and on through every possible media, as it was in the days of Noah. Let's let Romans 1 speak for us. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged the natural function of that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their lust toward one another, as it was in the days of Noah. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know not the ordinance, and although they know the ordinance of God, that he's written it on the heart of every man, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. For we are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I live in you and I walk in you and I will be your God. And you are my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not even touch, never glance at, added. And I will receive you and you'll be a father to you and you'll be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord. You are the temple of the Lord. Exodus chapter 12, where the Lord took the blood of the lamb and said, apply it to the doorpost where you live. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had been applied to you because you are now the place where he lives. You are now the temple of the Most High God. The blood of the lamb has been applied to you, and any evil spirit of demon, you can appealing to the blood, that the blood has redeemed you. The blood is there. You are forgiven. Of whatever sin, you're totally forgiven. Of whatever sin, God doesn't even remember it. And you can command in the authority of Jesus Christ that that demon, evil spirit of lust leave you. You must do it. You must fight the fight. We gave him permission to come in. We must lead him out, send him out, as the Lord said. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, for the days that we live in. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 15 speaks quite a bit about this. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them into pits of darkness reserved for judgment, it did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter, and an example for us. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, why was he living there? I keep asking myself that. Get out of there. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. And how he grabbed them by the hand and drug him out of there. And to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh. That's what this is, in its corrupt desires and despise authority. These, like unreasoning animals, just following the lust of the flesh. People, some live like an unreasoning animal, rather than taking the authority of the Word of God and making a decision by the Holy Spirit. I will not live that way. I'll not look at it. I'll not participate in it. Born as creatures of instinct, these animals, to be captured and killed, reveling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime, their stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. Don't allow it. Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. Guard your children. Their souls are not really that stable yet. Having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. Ephesians 4:27, do not give the evil one. Do not give Satan an opportunity. Any look, any glance that way gives him an opportunity, and he'll do all he can to take full advantage of you. 2 Corinthians 11, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. 1 Peter warns us, 5:8, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Give him an inch, and he'll take a mile. Satan and these demonic spirits are very clever and deceitful, using the lust of our fallen nature to lure, tempt, and trap, often beginning at an early age by being abused by an adult or by pornography that is rampant everywhere, by magazines, online, televisions, and movies. The mental pictures are close to impossible to ever get out of your mind. Fathers should guard their eyes and the eyes of their children. Help them understand, at least beginning at the age of puberty, help them understand the dangers of pornography and all of its severe consequences. Must do that to raise up a generation that can say no. It is perhaps the most addicting thing on this earth. Romans 7, 5, when we are controlled by our old nature, sinful desires are at work within us, and these evil desires produce a harvest of sinful deeds. Do not be deceived. He will come against you as he did Adam and as he did Jesus. Beware, whosoever servants you obey, his servants you are, Romans 6, 16, and every disobedience empowers them. Jesus answered when he was tempted, with the word of God to correct and resist the suggestions of the enemy. You also must know the word of the Lord to be able to quote the scripture like Jesus is. It is written. We shall not look at anything like that. To look at pornography is a way of worshiping the idol of pornography. It entraps you, and God says you cannot worship two things. You cannot worship me and demons, and that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what pornography is. We must know the word and be able to quote it. Renew our mind with the word of God. You must have verses memorized to immediately capture your thoughts and intentions whenever tempted or evil thoughts come to your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We must be destroying speculations, every lofted thing that raises up against the knowledge of God, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Beloved, it is indeed a spiritual warfare that is intensifying today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And again, Isaiah 5:13, my people are led away captive, exiled, for lack of knowledge. I could not share this message. We need the knowledge to know how serious this is and what the consequences of it are. Galatians 5, 16, 26, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature wants. These two forces are constantly fighting each other within us, the flesh and the Holy Spirit of God, fighting within us. Whichever, it's like the man said, it's like two dogs fighting. Whichever one you feed will get stronger. Whichever one you starve will become weaker. So it's our choice. Don't feed that spirit of the flesh in us whatsoever. Starve it. That's the part of us that should be crucified, that the Holy Spirit of God can live within us. Feed the Spirit by memorizing the Word, studying it into the Word of God all day rather than watching pornography in the way it is, even over the television. Our first warfare must be to conquer this battle right here before we'll ever be able to take it to the enemy beyond us. You have to win the warfare within. Diligently give yourself to that battle. 2 Timothy 2:22, good verse for all of us. 2 Timothy 2:22, four twos. Flee, run from, get out of there, youthful lust, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with all of those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. A pure heart. A good verse to memorize to help you with this battle would be Psalm 51, verse 10. Anybody memorize it and know what Psalm 51, verse 10 is? I pray it throughout the day. It is my prayer. It's the cry of the Lord. And I would encourage you to make it yours too. Memorize Psalm 51, 10. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Begging him, pleading, this is what I want more than anything else. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Make it your prayer. Make it your prayer. And anytime an evil, bad thought comes across your mind, make it click. Psalm 51, 10. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Finally, brethren, Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. The Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. The sword of the Spirit, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire. The shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. You'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, for our warfare is not against the flesh and blood, but against rulers, spiritual powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the days that are coming, as it was in the days of Noah. Those days are coming again. Amen, amen. These notes are online at treasurehisword.com. They're the very last notes that have been added in that long list of Bible study. Click on page 6, and it will come up right there. These notes are there. Also, on page 3 of the notes, there is something that I wrote some time ago, a battle guide to defeat the dragon of lust. Put up number 33, Cody. Revelation 6, I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are the spirits of the demons. And one of the ugliest and most evil is the demon of lust. And this demon must never be fed, encouraged, or allowed to any territory, or he will destroy you from the inside out. This is our battle. We must defeat this fire-breathing dragon. The ultimate victory will be accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ in the near future, as it says in Revelation 20. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. But until that day comes, number 24, till that day comes, we must fight and conquer the dragon of lust that lives in the man cave of this body. And thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not vain. The victory is yours if you want to fight for it. These notes also are on page 3, beloved. We need to prepare ourselves for the days that are already here and going to get worse and worse. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You now have knowledge, but you must put it to work. He that hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the sand. But he that hears these words and does them is like a man who built his house on the rock, Jesus Christ. When the storm comes, that house will stand. And the storm of the days of Noah is coming. Let's start building our houses on the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. And Father, this is our prayer. Lord, this is our prayer. This is your word, Lord. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the spirit and our soul, Lord. put this word in the hearts of each and every one of us. Don't let us forget it. When somebody asks us on Monday, what did he preach about? Lord, don't let us forget this message. Put it in our hearts. Speak it to us. We want to win. We want to defeat the enemy. We do not want to be a part of the problem. We do not want to live anywhere near as Lot did, Sodom and Gomorrah. We want to flee from there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for so great a salvation. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that is within each and every one of us. The same Spirit that raised your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior from the dead, dwells in us. And we're going to put that power to work and overcome and defeat the powers of lust in our own bodies and grab by the hand and help all those around us who are already taken captive. In Jesus' name and for His glory, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.